This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
You're listening to a best of the Michael Medved Show as Michael's out today observing the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. Thanks for listening.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day despite the fact that there continues to be great upset, agitation, discomfort with the inequality in America. Inequality between rich and poor, and particularly between black and white. What is the answer to that? Must it be systemic change? The head of Netflix says so, and he has a plan. And actually, what he's talking about might actually be beneficial and should have some bipartisan support, believe it or not. And meanwhile, there is a much deeper issue, which is, does it really require systemic change for black people, black families, to make progress? And Ian Rowe, who's been a guest on this show before, he's a brilliant scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. What he is saying is there needs to be a focus not on what society at large does, but on the individual behavior, the individual agency, the individual choices made by black citizens at every part of the spectrum, economically or politically. We will get to that speaking to Ian Rowe coming up on the Michael Medved Show. First up, there is a fairly radical position that is being taken by a very radical city, in fact, in many ways, America's most radical city. I'm talking about San Francisco. And if we're ready, Jeremy, maybe we can take a journey to the city by the Golden Gate. The San Francisco residents are going to be voting this November to determine not just who should be in the White House, but also whether 16-year-olds should be allowed to vote in the same election.
If you're going to San Francisco, to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to San Francisco, you're gonna meet some gentle people
there. You're gonna meet some gentle people there? Really? The reason they were so gentle back in the summer of love, 1967, was because those gentle people were drugged out. But that's another story. And today, of course, San Francisco doing such a great job with the homeless problem. I mean, no city has, even Seattle is not quite as bad and nutty as San Francisco. They have more high-end hotels that are filled with homeless people staying in $500 a night hotel rooms at public expense, but we can leave that for a moment. San Francisco's will cast ballots November 3rd to determine whether 16 and 17-year-olds should be authorized to vote in local elections. There was recently a column, we did it on the air here, somebody suggesting that the 18-year-old vote, which was a constitutional amendment that was passed at the height of the Vietnam War, 1972 was the first year that 18-year-olds were able to vote. The whole idea of the 18-year-old vote was people were being drafted at age 18. So it seemed kind of crazy not to have people vote if they're going to be drafted to risk their lives, serve their country. But what is the logic? And honestly, I don't see it in asking 16-year-olds to vote. I mean, most 16-year-olds, the overwhelming majority, are living with their parents. I know. Now people are living with their parents till much later ages. There was recently a survey that said that about half of all Americans between the ages of 18 and 29 were living at home. Okay. But we're not talking about taking the vote away from anybody. We're talking about authorizing new voters by the millions and millions, potentially. A similar measure that would have allowed 16 and 17-year-olds to vote in local elections in San Francisco narrowly failed, but it got 48% of the vote. So local activists and organizers are confident that this time it's going to pass. The Crystal Chan, who is 18, who's an organizer for Vote 16 SF, fought to get the measure on the ballot, and Crystal says, "I really think that Vote 16 will help youth of color in San Francisco establish the habit of voting at an earlier age and really provide them with the support and the resources that they need to continue building on that habit as they grow older." Okay, this is all a little bit strange, especially since in both 2008 and 2012, with Barack Obama on the ballot, the turnout of black voters was higher than the turnout of white voters. And the notion that somehow you need to authorize people to vote at age 16, that is actually going to help youth of color in particular? How? If the proposition passes, San Francisco would become the first major American city to give 16 and 17-year-olds the right to vote in municipal elections. But the question remains, what would be improved by lowering the voting age by 2 years? In other words, part of what they what people were concerned with once upon a time in limiting the vote to people who own property was the idea that if you own property, you have a stake in the society, in a locality, and where you live. You're a stakeholder. And, okay, we dropped that a long time ago, even though the majority of Americans do live in a house that either they own personally or some member of the family owns. Yeah, that's true. It's only a minority of Americans, and not a small minority, but a large minority, but a minority, who are renters. But given the idea that 16-year-olds, most of whom are supposed to be in high school, and we want them to graduate from high school, right? That it's going to help them to give them the vote? How? Research is clear on this, that voting is a habit, and 16 is a better time than 18 to establish that habit, said Brandon Klugman, Vote 16 SF's campaign manager. "Our motivation here, first and foremost, is to make sure that we put new voters in a position to establish that habit in the first election they're eligible for, and then to continue participating throughout their lives, which is good for democracy on every level." While the debate is getting renewed attention, some smaller cities have allowed people as young as 16 to vote in local elections for years, like Tacoma Park, Maryland, a suburb of Washington, D.C., where city officials say they have seen positive results since its implementation in 2013, pointing to increased youth engagement and higher turnout. "I hear from a lot of people around the country who are interested, a lot of young people, but also people who are not young. We're interested in adopting this in their community," said Jesse Carpenter, a Tacoma Park city clerk. At the federal level, the voting age hasn't picked up the same traction. Lowering the voting age hasn't picked up the same traction. But the initiative does have some bipartisan support from Congress. Why? If you think it's a great idea to lower the voting age to 16, you really think that's a clever idea, you can give me a call. 1-800-955-1776.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
You're listening to a best of the Michael Medved Show.
Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVed Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVed History Store by 50%.
Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
I mentioned before that, at least according to NBC, supposedly there is a bipartisan support for lowering the voting age to 16. NBC reported that, but it's not true. I hate to say it's fake news, but it kind of is. Because they say bipartisan support, there's one Republican, Ayanna Pressley, the member of the squad, who recently. I think she is the first female member of Congress to go entirely bald. And it's a great look for her. Ayanna Pressley, Democrat of Massachusetts, introduced an amendment to the H.R. 1, the For the People Act, to lower the voting age to 16. The amendment got 126 votes. That's less than a third. It doesn't do anything. It got 126 votes, 125 of them from Democrats. The one Republican was Representative Michael Burgess of Texas. He's a member of the Rules Committee. He said lowering the voting age to 16 struck a chord with him. Here's the point, he said. Would policymakers pay more attention to the problems that are being dealt to this segment of the demographic if policymakers were actually answerable to them? I think it is worth having the discussion. Okay, let's have the discussion. People who are 16 don't know about balancing a checkbook, usually. They don't know about paying off credit cards. They don't know about taxes. And see, one of the things that is most devastating here is that this is a group for whom we all pay taxes because we're paying for their education in high school, and increasingly we're paying for their education in college. What do you think the support for free college tuition would be among 16 to 18-year-olds? It would be very high, I'm afraid. And why? Because somebody else is paying it. There are very few people in that age group who are working full-time. And the idea that you're not old enough to serve your country in the military, but you are supposed to be old enough to vote. See, this is the reverse of the logic that passed that constitutional amendment back in 1972. The logic then was, okay, if you're old enough to fight, you're old enough to vote. But if you are not old enough to fight, and you're not old enough to drink alcohol, and you're 16 isn't even the age of consent. I mean, many states, if you are an adult, if you're over 18, and you have intimate relations with someone who's 16, it's statutory rape. So is that supposed to change, too? I know there are some Democrats and others who want to lower the age of consent. This is a big issue in France right now, where they're trying to lower the age of consent. But honestly, it's the idea of a 16-year-old who has never paid taxes, and chances are you never have, who doesn't own property, who is living entirely dependent, wouldn't the impact of changing the voting age to 16 be an increased constituency for people who wanted to see the government as daddy and mommy and taking care of me? Because all of us really, of the overwhelming majority of people, are largely taken care of when you're 16, and sometimes even 17. And by the way, you'll notice that they don't even have a requirement here that people be high school graduates. Wouldn't it be more important to emphasize that high school graduation? Because that is part of one of the secrets to success that actually Ian Rowe writes about, who's going to be joining us, about the best way to deal with poverty in the black community and with inequality. There was a statement by, and again, there's a Republican activist who's quoted in this article, whose name is Nate Hochman. He's a Republican activist. He says he does not support the initiative, citing questions about whether young people have enough experience in understanding exactly what good governance looks like. What do you mean you they don't have enough experience at what the workplace looks like, at what our financial life looks like? Do you think that people 16 are going to have the proper concern for deficit spending? There are a lot of grown-ups, people who are 60, who don't have proper concern about deficit spending. 16-year-olds, says Hochman, they're sophomores, juniors in high school. Like, they're deeply impressionable. They're largely interested in learning what, you know, their friends are doing and appearing to be cool. And they're not capable of making completely rational decisions about voting. When are you an adult? When do we trust you to make your own decisions about who you are in the world and making your own way? It seems to me that the idea of when you look at how frequently people who are 16 or 17 develop some kind of obsession with some kind of pop star, and sometimes a really, really deep obsession with Justin Bieber, I don't know. I probably, if they did have 16 and 17-year-olds voting, it would be a big help to the Kanye West campaign. There's a statement by the CEO of Netflix, whose name is Reed Hastings. He was doing a long interview with CNN, but he said this on race. Listen. This is clip 8A.
You just personally donated $120 million to historically black colleges and universities. After George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, you moved $100 million of Netflix money into black-owned and run banks. And what you said about that was that the move was to close the power gap between whites and blacks. Can you explain that? And do you believe that more white leaders need to step aside to make room for more black leaders, as we saw Alexis Ohanian do?
As a consequence of slavery, Jim Crow, and housing policy, black families in America have about one-tenth of the wealth of white families. If we're going to start to close that economic and power gap, we need black banks to be able to invest in the black community. If every major corporation takes 1% of their cash and deposits it in a black bank, it will be transformative in that sector. Now, it's not going to solve all of our problems, but it will make a real difference, and it's fairly easy for companies to transfer 1% of their cash to be in deposit in black banks.
Okay, good idea. There are serious people who think so, but Ian Rowe of American Enterprise Institute has an even better idea. It's called personal agency. What does that mean exactly? We'll talk to him coming right up on the Medved Show.
You're listening to a best of the Michael Medved Show.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Nearly 1 million Americans have already voted in the 2020 election, several times the number that voted early in 2016, with the vast majority being cast by Democrats. That's according to the U.S. Elections Project. President Trump said on Monday that he has paid millions of dollars in taxes but was entitled to depreciation and tax credits, adding that he was extremely under-leveraged and suggesting that he may release financial statements that would show all of his assets in debt. As far as if the president's tax returns are a big issue with voters, Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz tells ABC's The View,
I don't think it's an issue that frankly impacts a whole lot of Americans. As I talk to people in Texas, the number one issue everyone is worried about is jobs. They want to reopen small businesses.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Ian Rowe, who has joined us on the MedVed show before, is a resident fellow at American Enterprise Institute in Washington, where he focuses on education and upward mobility. He has also spent a great deal of his time, energy, and creativity as a co-founder of Vertex Partnership Academies. This is a new and very promising, exciting network of character-based international baccalaureate high schools opening in the Bronx in 2022. Congratulations on that effort, Ian, and thank you for the great paper which we've hooked up at our website. The title, Incentivize Individual Agency to Achieve Upward Mobility. Let me ask you, first of all, have you heard the commentary by Reed Hastings, the billionaire head of Netflix, about moving some of Netflix banking over to black-owned banks?
I've heard it at a cursory level. I do understand that I think he's moving perhaps 1 or 2% of Netflix cash holdings to black-owned financial institutions. Which I think is his effort to inject more capital and make it more accessible to black communities. And frankly, of many of the ideas that I've heard, at least that one is injecting capital in such a way that it will be distributed in a fashion that, you know, maybe it's access to potentially for venture capital or capital that's stimulative as opposed to redistributed, such as, you know, reparations and some of these other ideas that are, you know, essentially just trying to transfer wealth to American descendants of slaves in the case of reparations.
Yeah, one of the points you make in your piece, and it's such a powerful point, you say a range of policies to close the racial wealth gap have been proposed, including baby bonds, universal basic income, and trillions of dollars of cash reparations paid to black American descendants of slavery. But one solution has been willfully excluded from consideration: individual agency. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So, you know, there is recognition that there is a gap in the average level of wealth between black families and white families in the United States. And according to one analysis, the average black family has only one-tenth the net worth of the average white family. And for some, they look at that gap and they say, that gap is so huge, this is proof of America's legacy of oppression, the evil nature of the country, and in fact, the gap is so huge that there's literally nothing an individual black person can do to close that racial wealth gap. And I just find that to be some of the most debilitating, depressing language, especially when you look further in the data. And when you look at the same analysis but take into account family structure, this gap is completely reversed, meaning that when you look at the average black married two-parent family, that family has almost twice the worth of the average white single-parent household. So what it indicates is that perhaps there are factors beyond just race that determine whether or not an individual has the capital and the ability to generate wealth within their own lifetime and then be able to transfer that across generations. You know, I've run schools for the last decade in the heart of the South Bronx and low-income communities. The last thing you want to do is give kids the signal that you're powerless to change your economic station.
Well, this number that you have here, and there's a graph in your piece, which is posted up at michaelmedved.com, speaking to Ian Rowe of the American Enterprise Institute, the a white single parent would have a median net worth of $32,600.
Yep.
Whereas a black two-parent family, husband, wife, it's $61,000. So that the black two-parent family is actually doing better in accumulating wealth than the white one-parent family.
Yes.
That would suggest very strongly that the difference between white and black performance and wealth accumulation relates very directly to family structure. And that's your conclusion.
That is absolutely my conclusion. And beyond that, if you have a narrative that basically says there's nothing that you can do because of your race, then imagine if you're a child of that race and you have an country that it says that the American dream is available to you, but this narrative by Nicole Hannah Jones, she says, a reporter for the New York Times, says that it doesn't matter if you get married, it doesn't matter if you buy a home, it doesn't matter if you save, it doesn't matter if you get an education. Nothing you can do. It's just false, and it depresses human motivation. But if you see that if you, your family structure matters, your education matters, then you have a much greater sense of agency. You actually realize that, decisions I make have much greater influence than what these people are telling me that my race dictates must be the outcome. And I think it's very important, especially for educators, that we let young people know about the levers that they do have within their control. They are not victims. And we cannot let adults who have a different agenda tell young people that they're powerless to change their outcomes for their own lives.
And it's so profound and so important. You also talk in your paper, which I urge people to read, about the success sequence. And I think that Isabel Sawhill started writing about this over at Brookings 40 years ago.
Yes.
And basically that there are three things that you need to do that can virtually guarantee you won't end up in poverty. And they are, number one, graduate from high school. Number two, work. Don't have extended periods of unemployment. Work at whatever job you can get. And number three, don't have kids till you're married. Is that
it is.
So difficult to transmit?
So the thing is, the first thing is, let's ensure that young people even know that. You know, for a lot of kids growing up in middle class or upper class communities where marriage is the norm, where unemployment rates are low, they don't necessarily need to be taught the success sequence, because it's a series of decisions that are normed as sort of this is what you do for your passage into young adulthood. But in many kids in low-income communities where the non-marital birth rate could be north of 80%, and this is in the heart of the South Bronx, or it could be Appalachia, you know, in Kentucky with the working white class, working low-income white communities. And so it's really important. So first is just letting young people know about these series of decisions that increases the probability that they can achieve entry into the middle class or beyond. Nothing in life is a guarantee, right? Nothing. There are examples of children of single parents who succeed. There are examples of kids of stable, married, two-parent households that don't succeed. But the data is overwhelming that if you make that series of decisions, 98% of the time, you avoid poverty. That there is no public policy that's even come close to that set of outcomes. So first is, let's let young people know that information so they have the ability to make decisions in their own lives. And then, yes, let's look at the opportunities to allow that to happen. I talk about the importance of entrepreneurship. You know, any
and,
kind
and
of...
Can you hang on with us for a few minutes more,
yes.
Ian?
Yes.
Okay, we will be right back. I also want to get your take on this new proposal in San Francisco. Will they be voting on it? Will it help kids growing up to start voting at age 16? No, people are serious about this. 100 members of Congress. We'll get to that and more with Ian Rowe coming up on the MedVed Show.
You're listening to a best of the Michael Medved Show as Michael's out today observing the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. Thanks for listening. Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at the MedVed Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch MedVed's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
I love good movies, like a romantic comedy called About Time from 7 years ago. It's a great movie about romance and about family, really, and father and son relations, much more. Problem with it is there's a little bit of content you may not want to share with your children. That's where ClearPlay comes in. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, particularly right now during this time of pandemic, ClearPlay can set you up to watch the movies you want to see without violence, without profanity, or without other content that you would choose to remove. You make the settings up yourself. It's truly ingenious. Go to clearplay.com to learn more. And you can enjoy About Time with Margot Robbie, Rachel McAdams, and more. Check it out at clearplay.com because ClearPlay loves good movies.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called Argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
You're listening to a best of the Michael Medved Show.
On the Michael Medved Show, speaking to Ian Rowe, who was an education reformer. He is co-founder of the Vertex Partnership Academies, a new network of character-based international baccalaureate high schools that are opening in the Bronx. He's also a resident fellow at American Enterprise Institute, where he focuses on upward mobility and education. We were speaking right before you came on the show, Ian, about this effort in San Francisco, and it's expected to pass. The polling shows it's going to pass and going to become reality, that one of America's largest cities is going to lower the voting age to 16. Now, in terms of what you work with character formation and trying to encourage responsibility and agency and choice for young people, do you think that's a good idea to have kids voting when they're sophomores in high school?
Yeah, not at 16. I mean, in a former life, I actually worked at MTV, and I ran all of the efforts related to mobilizing young people to vote. So I've been very involved in efforts to get more than 20 million young people ages 18 to 29 to go to the polls and register and vote. So I'm a big fan of educating young people about the issues, not being just, you know, being slaves to what the general agenda is, but really thinking through each issue critically. And I think that's good. But when you get to 16 years old, I mean, in most states across the country, you haven't even finished high school yet. You might still be a sophomore. And so you really haven't yet even completed a full education to become a fully discerning member of our society. So, I'm a big fan of young people voting, but let's not get so impatient that we thrust kids into a situation that they're likely not ready. And I'll have to be honest, my sense is that there's probably a political agenda for those that are pushing that vote, I think there's a presumption that the kids will vote in a certain way, and I think that that's just inappropriate. And there's certainly no evidence that that's needed. Let's get the participation rate up of all voters before we start changing the age restriction.
Okay, by the way, they say the people who are promoting this was a bipartisan amendment that was put forward in the Congress of the United States. It had 126 co-sponsors. 125 of them were Democrats, you will be shocked to hear, with one Republican who couldn't really explain himself. In terms of your own background, you're black, which we haven't mentioned so far, but it obviously is part of shaping your outlook. Did you have that success sequence taught to you about graduate from high school and work steadily at a job and wait until you're married before you have children? Was that something that your parents taught to you, or is it something that you embraced later?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So I, you know, had the very fortunate experience of being born to Jamaican parents who were immigrants to the United States, who came to this country with the strong belief that they could create a better life for themselves and their two sons. And they knew that America has had issues around race, but they said, even despite that history, that this country was still the greatest place to seize opportunities, and they would be created for you if you were willing to work hard to do so. So my parents were married for 48 years before my father passed away. He was one of the first black engineers at IBM. My mother worked for what was then Manufacturers Hanover, which became Chemical Bank and over time Chase. So in a sense, I didn't need to be taught the success sequence at schools, because frankly, it was the norm in my own household. And from the very beginning, my education aspirations were not, you know, high school. It more was what graduate school you're going to. You know, college was a given. It was more the expectation. And so the reason I spent so much time on this particular topic is that none of this is in the province of white people or black people or Asian people alone. These lessons, these behaviors can be adopted by anyone. That is the power, these fundamental principles of strong families, free enterprise, hard work, resiliency. These are accessible to all young people, and there's power in them. There's power in them. And so if we really want to inspire the next generation to become agents of their own uplift, this is what we need to teach in our schools, because not everyone had the privilege that I had of being with parents that were married for 48 years and creating an incredibly stable and loving home environment. For those kids that don't, it doesn't mean that we're having schools become the parents of kids, but we do want all kids to understand the likely rewards or consequences associated with different series of life decisions. And the success sequence is real data. Kids need to know it.
You know, part of what you were saying and what you were just saying echoes so closely some of the greatest black leaders in the history of the country, including Frederick Douglass.
Yep.
And including very much Booker T. Washington. I took black history the first year it was offered at Yale. And one of the things that just leapt out at me from the page was more than 100 years ago, Booker Washington, who founded Tuskegee Institute, who was the first ever black individual invited to dinner at the White House as a guest rather than somebody serving other people by President Theodore Roosevelt, Republican, that Booker T. Washington said that black people should absolutely refuse the proposition that white people control my destiny. And that's basically what Ian Rowe is arguing eloquently with great proof and great logic in 2020.
If I can be mentioned in the same sentence as those two individuals you said, that's very inspiring. But, you know, but I'll take you one step further. Booker T. Washington not only said that white people do not control my destiny, he said, look, I want to create allies with all people for the uplift of my own people. And so he joined forces with Julius Rosenwald, who at the time was the head of the Sears Roebuck Company, and said, I want to build a network. This is when segregation, this is when black kids were not even able to attend white schools. He said, sure, fine. So he went to Mr. Rosenwald and said, look, I want to create a deal with you. You help me invest in the construction of schools throughout the South. I will match those financial investments coming from the black community, and let's create a network together. And so Booker T. Washington and Rosenwald created what was called the Rosenwald Schools, more than 5,000 schools across the country, primarily in the South, dedicated to the excellence of education in the black community. And ironically, it was the famous Brown versus Board of Education decision, which is always hailed as one of the most important in public education, that you had the presumption that separate meant unequal and separate meant inferior, that case actually was the death knell of the Rosenwald schools. It's a very ironic story. And so there is a thread that many of us in the black community need to recapture. And that is a sense that we can be agents of our own uplift. We can be masters of our own destiny. That doesn't mean that we can't partner and be allies and have diverse, unified efforts, especially given that there's a lot of pain in our country today, even in the white community. But this narrative that seems to be running, at least among some quote-unquote elites, that blacks can't succeed until whites, you know, forego their privilege or renounce their benefits or renounce their unearned successes, that creates a dependency. That creates a permanent victimhood, and that's something we have to reject.
Ian Rowe, a magnificent summary of some of the arguments in his new paper for the American Enterprise Institute, which is posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. And Ian, I'm sure you're aware there was a pretty good movie with Morgan Freeman starring as Nelson Mandela called Invictus. And it was about Nelson Mandela using the force of sports for uplift and unity in South Africa. And it was called Invictus because in that famous poem, William M. Ernest Henley wrote, "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul, and so be it in this greatest nation on God's green earth."
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos. Beat rising food prices. But above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.